This is the Bill Cosby trial.
Oh!
Covered by Jerry Sandusky.
There you go. Bring your own drugs to this. That's right. Drugs optional.
Well, folks, I guess it's about time to get moving. It took us a minute or two. All these fancy contraptions, I don't believe in them. Because things happen like what we just saw, but we got it fixed, I think. Instead of having PowerPoints and everything, I've learned over the years what we want is paper, which I have big piles of paper here. So if we can start passing them back there. Everybody's sitting in the back.
My name is Zeller. All my whole life I've been conservating that. We start passing them out in the back for everybody.
No one.
I think we're ready to go now, and the twofold purpose to this. First of all, my name's George Zeller. I know almost all of you looking here, but this is the oldest and longest running session at the Fest.
Yep.
Now, we were not having it the first Fest, but I think it was the second or third Fest, and ever since there's been a discussion of what's gone on in pirate radio over the past year. And that's what we're here for, and that's what this is, the traditional piece of paper that you can take back home. And this has always been designed in two ways. Again, knowing most of you are veterans in the radio hobby in one way or another. But then every year we get people that don't have never heard of shortwave radio before, or internet radio, or any of the other things that you see talked about here. So this is trying to serve two purposes at the same time. If you don't even have a radio or never know anything about this, it's at least get you started. And the place to start is to talk with our two eminent assistants here, and I am very pleased to say that I have sitting right next to me the mayor of Canton, Ohio. But actually, this is Kirk Baxter. And if there's any one individual that did more for getting pirate radio into the radio hobby, it was Kirk. He for how many thousand years did you edit the Ace?
It was 5,000.
5,000 years, started the, there's a lot of computer stuff here at the Fest this year, obviously, the very first use of computers in radio was the Anarch BBS.
Which started as the Ace BBS.
Yes, which originally was the Ace BBS. So before there was any computer work of any kind going on in our hobby, there was nothing until Kirk said so. So he's a distinguished figure. We have him propped up here for viewing. Now next to him is an even more distinguished figure, Larry Will. I think almost all of you know Larry. Now, Larry is here in two capacities. Number one, still editing the Free Radio Network weekly, excuse me. It's been a long trip down here. And so he's, I think, going to have a word or two to say about that. And also, he is here as a representative of an even more eminent figure, Alan Weiner. Now, who is Alan Weiner?
WBCA.
a couple of you know what WBCQ is, and Allen was the first famous pirate in the United States.
Yep.
The reason is he was the first guy who chartered a boat and stuck it off Long Island and began broadcasting to New York City. And every NBC, CBS, ABC, the other fake news stations all went out there and put this on nationwide TV two or three nights in a row. But Alan has been here before, I'm sad to say, and so is he. I heard from him the other day, he wished he was here, but he isn't. But he has designated Larry to be here, not only in capacity of being Larry, but also to represent WBCQ to the fest here. And so I'm gonna let them both say a few words, but I am gonna run very quickly through this list because I know we don't have too many rookies here, but what is a pirate radio station? Now, yesterday, everybody's saying R, and there's a lot of pirate radio activity. Some of the best pirate reception in the world takes place at this hotel. For some mysterious reason. What I'd like to talk about here today, and I think the rest of us are most interested in that, although Tracy kind of ran us through even pirate internet stations and so forth, which is a whole genre in itself. But the key to the pirate hobby in the United States is still shortwave pirates. And most of them are still the traditional frequency of 7415 is long gone. Mm. Mainly because Dan Ferguson's not here today. He was the guy assigning the frequencies for the Voice of America for many years. And he, on purpose, I think, put one of VOA transmitter on 7415. So the pirates not wanting to fight the government, which had high powered transmitters, this is historical talk I'm giving. Most of those transmitters are long gone. But in any event, no longer is 7415 the main frequency. It's 6925, I think, is more used than any other single frequency, but even those are approximate, depending on the quality of the transmitter being used, and also sometimes they move around to try and avoid interference, so somewhere around 43 meters is where most of the activity is, but we still have pirates up on 41 meters at times, even though WBCQ has still got that 7490 channel, and so you have to stay away from anybody else that's up there. And then you have a bunch of 49, you can see for yourself, I have them listed there as to what's used. And the last one on there, and I'm not going to talk on and on about this, but the almost all of the pirate radio in the United States right now is not on shortwave at all.
Nope.
It is on FM. There are literally tens of thousands of FM pirate stations on today, right now. Now they're all on FM, so their range isn't very far, and unless you live within the range of the transmitter, you can't hear them. But it does pay to just get your FM tuner out and go up and down to see if there's anything odd there and where you are.
There are some fairly high powered ones where I am. There's a city called Clifton in Pacific, about 10 kilometers away from me, and they hit me S9.
What do they play?
A lot of gangster rap and a lot of Hispanic music up by where I am. And they do have advertisers, local pizzerias and stuff like that.
Yes, and this is a very common format. The kingpin of all of this is the New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, general New York metropolitan area. Although in close second place is Florida. And I'll people up here from Florida. But Miami, Fort Lauderdale, all over Florida, you've got an enormous number of FM pirates. Since I started doing that pirate column in Nashua, who was sponsoring the fest here, of course, I've been just checking out the trends and what the FCC is doing about all this. And every month they go out, and it's been getting more and more as time goes. I think I said this last year, I'll say it again, there were more busts this year than there were last year. All of them, except one, were of FM stations. There was only one shortwave pirate bust this year, and I have that listed down there. Just a list. This is by no means a complete list of every pirate that's on the air right now. That's why we have Larry and the Free Radio Weekly and other sources to keep track of what's on there right now, this week and last week.
Is the station that got busted, is that on here?
Yes, the very first one I have listed there, YHVH, was in fact busted. That increased his activity. He's on more now than he was before he was busted. And he is also the king champion of using, you can ignore all that list of frequencies I had at the top. He shows up all over the place. I mean, literally all over the place, most of the time in shortwave broadcast bands intentionally, in 31 meters.
Like VOA does.
Yes, 25, play. Of course, there's a lot of empty space there because VOA isn't anywhere anymore, so they've got plenty of channels to use, and he is there. So, and in addition to that, though, I just had another few things listed there, and the main thing that interests me in pirate radio ever since I got into it hundreds of years ago, is there's probably more clever production going on in most of the shortwave pirates than there is on any licensed station in the United States, who is simply wasting Clear Channel's money, or they don't call it Clear Channel anymore. What is it now? iHeartRadio or whatever it is. And before the bankruptcy court takes all that over, there's really not much to be said for commercial radio nowadays, but the pirates sit down and think that they're all Howard, they're going to be Howard Stern, or they're going to be Jack Benny, or they're going to be, literally Jack Benny is on there. I have him listed there, the old time radio, somebody has the old Jack Benny and Roger Marx broadcast from the 30s. And they put them on pirate radio. And so in any event, and here at the fest, it's my guess that in the past, it's happened every year before, at the very last thing at this fest on Saturday night, this is local time at midnight, the voice of Pancho Villa comes out of the woodwork and so there we have all of that. And pirate radio is so closely mirrored the trends in the regular shortwave DXing hobby. A lot of people collect QSLs. It's a lot easier to get a QSL out of most pirates than it is out of most international broadcasters. It sure as heck is a lot easier to get a QSL out of a pirate than it is to get a QSL out of Swiss Radio International. Because I shut the transmitters all down. But in any event, traditional means of getting a QSL, though, in pirate radio needs a comment or two. If these stations are illegal and we don't know where they are, what good does it do to have this address? These addresses are not the actual address of the station. They're what they're called mail drops. You make out a reception report like you would with any other station, you stick it in an envelope and you enclose three stamps. Not canceled stamps, stamps that can be used for good delivery. And the purpose of the three stamps is the mail drop guy sends your report back to the station with one of the stamps, And then he sends the, uses another stamp to send it back to the mail drop operator, who then puts it in the mail and sends it to you, and you get it. And now those are a couple of them that we have listed down there. There are still the stations using, announcing these old addresses, but they're no, the address is no damn good anymore. And the one in Nebraska, as you see. And down at the bottom, a long list of things that we should do to get more information. And I said I wasn't going to talk the whole time, and I am not going to, because this is only one of our purposes here. We have two other purposes, and one I want, since Kirk came all the way out here from the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I thought maybe you could, why don't you just give us a few words on how it came to be that the old HBB, we thought we ought to have computer stuff like the BBS in pirate radio.
Well, when I took over publishing the Ace from Darren Leno, that was back in the '80s, I think, early 90s. There really wasn't any internet that the public had access to. There was BidNet, which the government and universities had, but as far as public access to much of anything, there really wasn't. CompuServe was just basically getting started. So a lot of home users started developing their own BBS software, and it obviously had a very good application for shortwave listener. Instead of waiting for your monthly bulletin to come out here, you could get up-to-date information just by dialing into a number. Your computer connects, put in your name and password, and here you could read about all the latest loggings without having to wait again for another 30-day cycle for the published bulletin to come out. So the ACE started with some very rudimentary BBS software. We transitioned into some software that allowed us to essentially design our own bulletin board. Menus would appear for any club that wanted to be part of it. And after a couple years, our name transitioned. So we basically handled, you know, anything for any of the Anarch clubs. So it was a very easy way for, again, information exchange to happen. It's hard to believe nowadays with the internet, where you can basically, on your tablet, your smartphone, find anything you want, that you had to use your own home phone line and a dial-up modem to be able to connect to this type of information. But it was the best thing that we had for quick information. Wasn't a graphic interface, of course, it was all text. We could share programs, but there really weren't that many programs out there at the time to share some logging programs, antenna design programs, things like that. And of course, if people were buying and selling equipment, it was a good way of having a forum where people could list pieces of equipment that they wanted to sell. The BBS continued, gosh, well into the mid to late 90s, but by obviously the late 90s, the internet was now becoming available to you know, anybody that wanted to you know, pay the fee to get connected to your local cable provider. So all these home BBS systems pretty well faded away by that time, but it was kind of the very, very first entry into digital communications for sharing information that we had. There also had been a system, George, do you remember this? There had been a dial-up system. People had a phone line where you could dial in to a phone connection and leave your tips, and everybody could then dial in and hear your tips within a few minutes after you had logged those. So that was another way of sharing information very quickly, as far as, you know, pirate information that was on the weekends, if you wanted to get it out very, very fast. It was like, run somewhere in Virginia or in this area.
I was thought at first you were referring to 1-800-GLEN.
No. But
what was the what kind of platform, what kind of computer and operating system and bulletin board software was the first ACE VBS using?
Well, we were using just the standard PC machine.
Like an IBM compatible.
You know, a straight IBM PC. You know, this is when it, I think they came out in 1983. Mm-hmm. And of course, hard drives were incredibly expensive at that time. Mm-hmm. A 20, believe this or not, a 20 megabyte hard drive cost, it was a couple grand.
Yeah, that was a big one.
And I remember the company that was selling those very first ones, it was like, the name was something like PC View or such. Turned out that guy was Michael Dell. And obviously you know where he went with his business, but he had some of the very, very first big, you know, 20 megabyte hard drives. And I think on my machine I had like a 5 megabyte hard drive. The software that was being run at that time, I think was called RBBS. It was a public domain software. It really wasn't very configurable. You could have different bulletin board sections, and could only handle one user at a time. Believe it or not, of course, it was speed was determined by the speed of your modem. It might have been 300 or 1200 baud. But eventually we moved into a software called TBBS, which was very, very modifiable. You could create your own menu structure, and you'd had a number of flags, so each user could have their own security level, and they would only see the menus for the levels of security that they were allowed to see. And so if people were in one club, they might see one set of menus. If they were a sysop for one section, they could see downloads and uploads and all sorts of statistics on what was going on. That, of course, is now all gone since everything is on internet-wise.
There are still bulletin boards, and the internet does go down sometimes.
True. And I noticed on the list, one of the other good sources, besides the frnnets.net/vines, Free Radio Cafe. Another site is the HF Underground. And I don't see it on here, but they have a very active group of listeners. So on the weekends, on the holidays, or any day of the week, if you want to see what's happening or what's been happening in the past few days, look on the HF Underground under the Pirate section and you'll see what's been logged. And I think anybody can sign up for an account and you can leave your own logging. So in the real time, you know, on a weekend, if you want to see if there's something around and worthwhile to tune for, any of these sites are really, really good to find. And what I found, as you've probably listened to with these talks about software-defined radios, if you can just look at the HF band, you know, tune your software-defined radio to 6950 and just look for any signals that start to pop up. There will be some utilities. There's a teletype station that's about 6942 or so. There's some other stations. There's lots of Spanish-speaking stations that pop up. But if you see a station on there with a sideband carrier, most of these are using upper sideband in the 41-meter band. Make sure you kind of go down there and look for what activity there is. The 49 meter band, the 41 meter band, the propagation's been really terrible lately. So you're gonna probably need to listen fairly early in the evening, 2000 hours or so. By the time it gets to about 0100 hours GMT, the band has really gone long, so you're not gonna hear too much, but early in the evening, and especially around holidays, And we've already passed the biggest of the holidays for the Pirates, which tends to be Halloween, but any of the other big holiday seasons is another time.
September 19th as well, talk like a Pirate Day.
Okay. It's another time to be looking around on the bands.
Is there any medium wave stations over the past year that have been hurt?
Yes, but a lot less than you would think, especially given the expanded band. I think that is listed down there on the... But it turns out some of the biggest users of that expanded band are the idiot governor of Pennsylvania who made me took 2 hours to go to Wilmington last night because they have these weather radios all over the country and so there's a lot of interference down there just from TIS stations of various kinds like that. But you still have some people down there doing some pirating and...
is that on 1710 or whereabouts?
That's the end of the expanded
band
now.
Yes, is that particular frequency used?
Undercover radio, for example, will use 1710 once in a while, But it's pretty, very uncommon medium wave right now.
Are there any licensed stations on 1710? I think it wasn't that like
there's
sort of segregated off.
There is
Governor of Pennsylvania has a large number of them.
Okay. There is a public service. Yeah, there's a TIS on 1710 that's in New Jersey.
Okay.
And since there's so few stations there, if you're driving through and you got a good AC Delco unit in your car, and if you're bored, you can pick them up around in a wide area around dusk to dark, right at the sunset. But there's only a handful of them that you can get. But that I know that New Jersey one is well heard. I think it's near an airport. It's just a regular loop thing.
And it's only a few watts, I guess.
It's only a handful of watts. Yeah. But it's like that 87.7 situation. There's so few stations there.
So if someone wanted to become a medium wave pirate, would 1710 be a good choice or a bad choice? I mean, are there other medium wave frequencies in the X band that are less used by licensed stations?
It's all full of noise. 1710, I would imagine, would be good as any because there's very few real licensed stations there, but the whole band is just totally crushed by noise from consumer electronic gear now, and so it's that if there is a good channel on medium wave, that would be it.
Okay.
That's great you brought that up, Larry. I got to tell my own TIS station. I live in Cleveland. Now this is the old days. The TIS station in Cleveland at the airport was on 1610. It's not there anymore now, but it was then. That guy that had the Radio Metallica transmitter, with how many kilowatts was that thing?
That was a big old military.
Yeah, it was at least 20 or 30 kilowatts, and he put that thing on the air on 1610. And it was Christmas time, I forget, it was Christmas Eve or the next day. I'd been out of town with relatives for Christmas. On the way back, I turned in 1610, and instead of the Cleveland Airport TIS, there's Radio Metallica coming in louder than any other station on my car radio. So I drove on a lark. I knew where the TIS transmitter was at the Cleveland Airport. So I drove my car
right there,
no farther than I am from you, away from that transmitter, and there's Radio Metallica blasting in. He brought that transmitter to the fest 1 year. That was back when we were still in Cultville, so you might have seen that. It was a gigantic phenomenon. You don't see that every day. But now, Larry, I did want to give you some time, though, and Alan, I told Alan you would do this, and he said, wonderful. What's going on at WBCQ, and what are you doing in terms of your outreach to get everybody sitting in there in the room involved in what's going on at BCQ right now?
Well, Alan says hello from Florida. He's sunned in, so to speak. Tintron is snowed in Southern Maine, so it's up to me. The station's doing fine. Brother Stare bought all of the free space on the transmitters, on all of our transmitters, which he's wont to do occasionally. So he's on whenever there's not something else on BCQ and there's available time, he'll hear Brother Stare. But that typically only lasts for 2 or 3 months and then he'll go away. But that's a good thing, because more money coming into the station allows Alan and the station to subsidize some of the other public service and free radio stop programming. Like, we give a lot of airtime to Glenn Hauser for World Radio. And Alan has been running for many months now a free radio special for anybody interested in getting on the air. And he markets it to the free radio community, so we get a lot of ex-pirates or pirates that want to go legit for a day or two. So on the main service on 7490, you drop in $50 and you get an hour. And on any of the other frequencies, $25 an hour. And so his rates are the same as they were in 1998, and it's a loss leader, but he wants to keep open the door. We want to keep open the door to the free radio and the alternative radio community. And anybody who wants to get on the air who would otherwise be restricted because airtime costs a lot of money. So the station's doing well. Since we're on the down trough of the solar cycle, the higher frequencies are getting a little less useful after dark. So there's big plans. We have an MW50 transmitter. It's like a clone of the original 7490 transmitter that will be tuned up. And with some antenna work at the plant, we'll be putting that on 3250 KCs next summer. And that should be a really good signal, a really good transmitter. And so not sure what we're gonna end up putting on that, but I think, because Alan changed his mind about that every 3 days, but I would like to see it be like an Area 51 style service where a lot of the alternative mix will go down there. And I think, I haven't heard, but I think Tintron is at Monticello this weekend, so he'll be live on the air tonight. And he knows we're down here and having a good time, so he'll have a lively show. And maybe we'll be fortunate he'll talk tech, because when he does that, that's very cool. But if you have any questions about BCQ, just come up and talk to me right here. I'd love to talk to you. Otherwise, you can go up to our website, bcq.com. And we support the kind of community that the creativity and the variety of opinions and the openness of the free radio community. And Alan, as an ex-pirate, certainly supports that. And we don't advocate any illegal activity, but we support a lot of the free speech nature and the ability for people to go on and do that.
And when you speak of illegal activity, do the FCC's profanity rules apply to WBCQ?
My understanding is that by definition, WBCQ is an international radio service.
Yes.
So it is a gray area. Alan has always said, well, the profanity rules, no one's ever given us any grief about that. And we've been on the air since 1998. So by definition, it's targeted to a foreign country. It just so happens that our beam goes over most of the United States. back in the early days of BCQ, there was a hate speech written down, hate speech policy. And as far as I know, Alan has only, since 1998, only two broadcasters have ever been kicked off the air at BCQ. One was the Nazis, and another was another white supremacist group, and they were kicked off because they were advocating genocide and because they didn't pay a bill. Other than that, there hasn't been anybody kicked off of BCQ for content.
Okay.
Any other questions? Thank you, George.
And I'll second what Larry said, though. I mean, I urge you very strongly to go to the WBCQ website itself. It's easy to pull up. Anybody with a computer could do that. And there's an enormous amount of information on there about some of the stuff Larry said. And so there's more information than you didn't have time to list.
And when propagation's bad, there's live streaming.
That's right. That's right. So then you can go back to the Tracy Woods session we just heard and listen to BCQ that way. So now the other thing that we need to do here today, and this is becoming a tradition, this empty chair is occupied by John T. Arthur.
Hi, John.
As you see, he's lost a lot of weight. But John, unfortunately, couldn't be with us here this year, but John's the longtime coordinator of the process by which, I've been kidding Kirk because he lives in Canton about the Football Hall of Fame, well, we have a North American Pirate Radio Hall of Fame. And it doesn't get as much coverage on ESPN as the NFL does, but every year there's a new class of both pirate radio stations of the past and individuals of the past who have been of major significance to the pirate radio hobby. And the announcement of each year's new class takes place here today at this event. And John is a rough taskmaster running this. He hits me over the head and everybody else that's involved in any way in this process to make sure that this gets done on time, and it never does to his satisfaction. But he did manage to get it done this year, and there are three new stations going into the North American Pirate Hall of Fame this year.
You should have had them in an envelope so you could open them like the Oscars.
Yes. But we had to fire our accountant. But the three new stations in the Hall of Fame this year, number one, Channel Z Radio. Now, that's right. Now, of course, we're fortunate to have Andy with us here again this year, and so he's very right. Notice one of the people clapping.
The checks in the post.
That's right. Channel Z is very active in European pirate radio transmitters, and it's also very active on North American pirate radio transmitters. And not only is now, but always has been. And so Channel Z maybe has got the widest exposure of any pirate station in history.
And
so that's
he's been on BCQ.
And BCQ, that's right. And so a very well-deserved new entry. Another one that's new this year, that's going in this year, Nappers, NAPRS. That stands for the North American Pirate Relay Service. Now they don't do any pirate production at all, at least not under their own name. But their single purpose is to find other pirates. Larry has given mention about how WBCQ does outreach to them to try and get airtime for them. Well, Nappers does that too. And they don't charge for it either, they just do it. And it's been around for decades, and so I think that's a very appropriate new entry in the Hall of Fame. The third, the only one that's kind of a traditional pirate station this year is Pirate Radio Boston. And that's, I think, very well deserved also. That sample list of pirates on the other hand out, and if you look in the Nassau Journal, you see in the other room over there, there's all kinds of stations on there right now doing very creative production, and this is a great example of one of those that's been around for years. But there's a very surprising number of them, a lot fewer than there is regular stations on my car radio. That is the telephone. It was invented in 1842 by Alexander Graham Bell. So So in any event, that is the, now, that is supposedly being posted to the North American Pirate Hall of Fame website even as we speak. I don't have a computer with me, so I don't know, but you can check all this out. There's a lot more information there, not only on these three news stations, but on the all the other stations and individuals that are already in there, among which is Alan Weiner and Kirk Baxter. For doing what he did when we were talking about the BBS. So in any event, you want, if you haven't checked that out, you ought to. And now we don't have an International Broadcasting Hall of Fame, and maybe the time to do that is pretty soon before there is no international broadcasting, which is what makes the Pirates. I'll sign off whatever I was going to say here today. I remember when I first got into pirate radio, it was a very much of a bastard stepchild in this hobby. I'll never forget the ANR convention they had in, that was the old Association of North American Radio Clubs up in, that one's in Toronto, I believe. And the first item on the agenda was to determine whether ACE should be let into this distinguished group of the Radio Club Association. And the argument was, does that mean we're gonna endorse crimes? We, the Association of North American Radio Clubs, are gonna endorse criminal behavior? Are you crazy? And this was a huge controversy.
It's not illegal to listen to pirates, at least not here, right?
Well, the fact is, by a very, very narrow, tight vote, ACE was put in. Now you can judge for yourself what that did to the future of the North American Association of Radio Clubs. But they did let ACE in, and we've lived with it ever since. Of course, now there is no ACE and there is no anarchy.
But there's still anarchy.
Yes, there is still anarchy. But so in any event, this is different from everything else that we have in the hobby, except I was reminded this morning listening to Tracy, all this new internet stuff. What's the difference between that and what we did 20, 30 years ago? These stations aren't licensed by any government any more than anybody, anything else is, and you can't even find them. You gotta listen to Tracy with all those technicalities to even find them. But that's what this hobby's all about, and that's why we're all here this weekend, I think. So in any event, there we go. We have done our official duties and our unofficial duties. I don't know if anybody else has anything they want to ask or say.
What about the, there's another publication, I think called the Pirate Radio Annual, and maybe we should hear a little bit about that.
Yes, and now, I didn't put Andy's chair there. No, Andy Yoder.
Andy Yoder's in the back. Andy Yoder's sitting right there.
But he has done a successful job of, you ever watch James Corden's show where he sticks that band leader with the big hair out in the audience and can't find him? Well, that's what we have with the... I still don't see him.
Yeah, Andy, come on up. He's in his red.
In the red.
He could raise his hand, George.
It's because of that big hair he has, like James Corden's band leader. But yeah, come on up here, Andy. Come on. There's Andy Yoder, one of the original members of the Pirate Radio Hall of Fame, but he's also the author of the greatest books ever written.
And editor,
and he's now going to tell us about the latest edition.
It's coming out next year. Yeah, I just have the one from the past 2 years. It should be an annual and not a biannual, but... haven't been able to do it
for this year, so it's going to be a 2017-2018 edition.
What all is in that publication, Andy?
It's mostly a listing of stations, but also try to get in some station history and other interesting stuff. Kind of toss together some hopefully interesting stuff about pirate radio.
And is there an audio CD included in that book?
There is an audio CD included.
how many different stations are on that audio CD?
The most current edition has 92 different station clips of 92 different stations on the audio CD.
Great, awesome.
And what's the cost?
And you got copies with you next door to
sell? Yes.
Yes.
$15.
Wow, great deal. It's a fine, I can say it's a fine publication. It's worth having. It's worth
it.
Really well worth it.
I think it's unanimous. We all want to thank Andy. That is one hell of a book. I did cross Lanesville off the mailbox list this year. Well, I think that we have crossed all our I's and dotted our T's, so get a hold of the, look at the website of the Hall of Fame, look at the BCQ website, and go buy Andy's book, and we'll all be going home happy. Thank you.